This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Invest Talk. It is Friday, September 11th, 2020. September 11th. And of course, I can't start the program or the podcast without, you know, mentioning respectively, today is the 19-year anniversary of the terrorist attack in New York City. I remember it very, very well. Most people remember what they were doing at that time. You know, it's not good. It was a pretty tough, difficult time. Invest Talk is a finance and investment program, as you know, so I do not want to get political. That's not what I want to do. Let's just say that many innocent Americans were killed on that day, and many more have died in the aftermath of those 9/11 attacks. So I think we should remember that over this day. Now, my customary trivia question today will remember the attacks, and it looks at, I will be looking at the attacks market reaction. The effect on the market, that's part of my trivia question. And we can see that the fourth quarter is fast approaching. And of course, after that, the end of the year. I mean, the fourth quarter is almost on us. We have the rest of September, and then we're in the fourth quarter. And it certainly has been a pretty difficult year, pretty momentous year. Unprecedented events, you know, especially the COVID-19, that was something we haven't seen. I think you have to go back to 1911 or 17, all the way back to the Spanish flu, which, you know, really didn't start in Spain. It started here in the United States, but there was reasons why it's called the Spanish flu. We'll move on. So there's a lot of volatility. It's going to continue. I can't see how it's going to stop. We got an election year, presidential election year, and we're less than 60 days away from that. So there's going to be volatility. And you just got to learn how to deal with it, compensate. You know, it's going to be a great lesson for young people to understand how markets work. They are volatile at times. Just the way it is. I'm Steve Peasley, and today in this program and podcast, I will do my best to give you unbiased answers to your financial and investment questions. And of course, you may want some strategies. I'll be happy to talk about that. We'll talk about volatility if you want. Anything financial, we'll discuss. 888-99-CHART, this is a call-in show. 888-992-4278 is my number. So how did the market do today? Well, the Dow was up 131, the Nasdaq was down 66, and the S&P was up 2. So it'd be a mixed day. Nothing very impactful today. Now, I will talk about, you know, I'm going to talk about 401ks at some point. I got other talking points we could talk about. Maybe talk about the retail bankruptcies that are happening, in different companies. Maybe discuss the CPI. And I want to talk about how much money Elon Musk is going to make. Man, he's getting some big paydays. And so they're so big, they're going to in fact impact pretty strongly the earnings of the company, of Tesla. So we're going to get to those. Well, you can all hear it. We're always busy. We always have lots of calls, so I want to get right to them. Let's get right to the first call of the day.
Hi, Steve and Justin. My name is Maria. I'm calling from Jackson, Tennessee. I'm a first-time caller. Love your show. Now, I have a question for you, and this is in regards to how do you know what is the best price to buy a stock? I mean, what formula do you guys use to make sure you're getting it at a bargain price? Love your show again. Thank you so much.
That's one of the difficult things about the market. You're never sure about anything. You can't be sure. All you can do is hedge your bets with knowledge. Okay, so how do we know that this is the good price of the stock? Well, it takes a lot of experience, but we know by history, by looking at stocks and sectors and companies and the entire market, what is overvalued and what is undervalued. And there are some very simple factors you can use to help you with that. Like, what is a PE ratio, the price earnings ratio, the price of stock compared to the earnings of the company? That's a very basic way to look at a stock to see if you're buying it overpriced, underpriced, or you're buying it fairly priced. But everything is moving so much. Earnings go up and down. Sales go up and down. Things like COVID-19 happen. Competition comes in. Market margins squeeze or expand. There's so many things. So there's a lot of factors to look at. And we look at them, not just even the movement of the price of the stock over the last year, 2 years, maybe 3 years. Just the movement that tells us, oh, this looks odd or over too strong or too weak or whatever. There's lots to look at to try and determine the value of a stock and that you're getting it at a good price. Remember, I said try twice. You're listening to Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley. For investors, the need to remain vigilant never ends. With strong crosswinds, the volatility and risk tolerance affecting our decisions, we must learn to manage fear and greed, the only two emotions that matter at all in the market. Okay, and I'll make you better investors if you do. That's a better investor. Now, if you talk about this or your participation in anything important that you want to talk about, of course, you are important to the show. So we're here taking your questions live, 888-99-CHART.
It's an Invest Talk Friday. Steve Peasley is on duty, and he's happy to provide unbiased answers, but you've got to call with your questions. Invest Talk, 888-99-CHART.
888-992-4278. Okay, let's go to Brian in Connecticut. He wants to talk about CVS. Brian.
Hi, Steve. How's it going?
Good. Thank you for the call. I do appreciate it.
Good. I'm just curious. So I understand the market's not really appreciating companies with high debt right now, but CVS has just had a bloody sell-off over the last couple of days. And the value of the company is just, from a P.E. ratio, so low. They have a great dividend of over 3%, and they increased their guidance for this year in the midst of COVID. So I'm just kind of wondering on what's going on with that stock right now, and why is it looking like it is?
Okay, this is CVS Health, everybody. I think most people know about it. They have 9,900 pharmacies and drugstores in 49 states, D.C., Puerto Rico, and Brazil. Okay, they're going to make $7.23 this year. That's the most they've made in years. Next year is $7.53. So that's more than they're going to make next year. Sales, probably what the problem is, Brian, is that sales have fallen the last couple. Sales growth have fallen. Not sales, but the growth of sales. Growth of sales was in the 20 to 35, 40 range per quarter. And the last two quarters is 8%, 3%. COVID actually hurt their sales. People don't understand, or maybe they do by now because I'm talking about it. But remember, everything shut down to treat COVID people. So all the normal patients and the normal drugs and going to their doctor to get this and that prescribed, that didn't happen. So a lot of areas, sales were slow, and CVS got hit with that. But to me, that means there's demand behind that, and they're probably going to return. Okay? So I think it's a great bargain. Yes, it has fallen. It's fallen from 64 all the way down to 57 here in about a month, month and a half. It's still falling, though. So, Brian, don't jump into it yet. I'd like to see some strength come back into it before you jump in, but it's very, very reasonable price. $57 stock with a $7.53 earnings, that means, I mean, the P.E. is going to be 7. 7.5? That's as low, a 5-year low, 7. Return equity is very good, 15%. Yeah, they have a lot, you know, not a ton of debt, but some debt, but their cash flow is $8.59. Yeah, this would be a 3.5% dividend. This would be a core holding for those people been looking for a bargain. Here's one of them. So, Brian, you got thumbs up for me. Let's go to Noel in Napa. How you doing, Noel? How's it going? You want to talk about BGS?
Yeah, I'm a long-term holding BGS, big position, and I'm really happy with that position, but you know, a little concerned, I guess, like you to prop me up a little bit, I guess. It's been down. You probably follow it, and it's been down about $4 the last few days. So what's your take?
Well, it was really inexpensive when it was trading around $15, $16, you know, during the COVID thing. I mean, it got even below $15. Now it's at 26, so it's almost doubled. It did double. It got up to 31 or so. They're going to make $2.19. The problem is, and the sales in the last quarter was up 38%. BGS Foods, everybody, manufactures shelf-stable food products such as jellies, hot sauces, sold in the U.S. So everybody's not dining out, and they're having more food in the house, and that's been reflecting these kind of stocks. It broke below the 50-day moving average, which makes me a little bit nervous. It's right at support here at $26. And it's now, it's a $26 going to make a $2 next year. Okay. So that's a 13 PE, and their range is 6 to 25. So it's kind of in the middle of the range. So it's no longer the bargain it was, but it's not overpriced either. It's fairly priced. So you probably, and it has a 7.2% dividend. So I wouldn't be anxious to sell it. You could take a little bit of profits if you. BGS, thank you. Masa in Kansas City, or Kansas. Masa, how you doing?
I'm fine, and you?
I'm great. Thank you for the call.
I have a question regarding a retirement account. I invested my Roth IRA in 90% stocks and 10% bonds. I'm 40 years old. What do you think?
I think at 40, at 40, that's probably a good asset allocation. You know, if you, it's really if how comfortable you are with risk. At 40 years old, you got 20 plus years before you can think about retiring, unless you think you're going to retire much early. Therefore, you probably should be aggressive in the market. So I have no problem with a 90-10 split. I mean, I would not. So as long as you're comfortable with it, you don't mind the risk of being in the market, then stay there. I think you're fine. So I think you're fine until you get a lot closer to retirement. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Hey, did you know what the correction was, by the way? How much, how deep this correction has been that we kind of lived through? For the NASDAQ, is 10%. But for the other markets, it's 5, 6%. S&P 500, Dow 30. So that's what it's been so far. And is it over? We don't know. We'll know in hindsight, but it's a decent correction for the NASDAQ. But the NASDAQ was the most overbought, so it should have been more corrected. Okay? Okay, my focus point today concerns the story, leveraging our awareness on National 401k Day. Did you know it was National 401k Day? With only 70% of Americans financially prepared for retirement, understanding what you can do to make the dream of retirement a reality is important. So I'm going to talk about that with you. But now we're heading into a break, and the phone lines are open. The number is 888-99-CHART.
This is InvestTalk, the radio program and podcast dedicated to helping you achieve financial freedom. You may be a regular listener. You may even have called a few times. But if you've never called, what are you waiting for? The phone lines are open, and Steve and Justin would love to hear your questions right now. Call 888-99-CHART.
Okay, let's keep moving. Let's talk to Jim in Illinois. Jim.
Hey, it's actually Jay.
Oh, Jay, I'm sorry.
No worries. Yeah, I've been listening to the program for a while, and I enjoy it, Steve. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
So I had a question about a stock called EBIX, E-B-I-X.
Do you want to buy it, sell it? Do you just want to see if it's a good value or?
So I came across it because I was looking at, stocks in the software space that seem to be cheap fundamentally. And it looks like revenue's been going up, but income's kind of flattened. And technically, it's been in a free fall. And it looks like it's in the insurance software space. So I thought you might have some additional input on why.
EBEX Inc. Provides internet-based software applications and related services to insurance agents and brokers. Okay. They've had earnings for years and years and years. Earnings have been pretty consistently growing. They're going to fall a little bit this year, but before this year, they grew every year consistently. So in 2019, they made $4.20. This year, they're going to make $3.45. Then next year, bounce back to $4.25. And it's a $19 stock, so it's very inexpensive. Now, I'll tell you this. Insurance stocks, insurance-related stocks, don't trade at a very high PE. They usually are fairly low. This one's range is 2 to 28. It's at 5. That's going to be lower next year, so it's going to be a little bit lower than 5, breaking into the 4. Great return on equity at 25%, pays a small dividend at 1.5. It's only a $604 million company, so it's not really large. And the most recent quarter, sales fell 23%. I think that's why you're seeing weakness. People get nervous about that. Why should sales fall 23%? COVID, there's nothing COVID-related. It shouldn't be. Or maybe it is, maybe because no one's buying insurance, but everybody needs it. So I need to find out why their sales have fallen so sharply in the most recent quarter. And that's the first time that it's fallen like that. They usually grow, on a quarter-to-quarter basis. So something's up with that, and that's what the weakness is. I would look into that weakness and find out. And if that weakness is just a one-time thing, it's a good bargain. Let's go to Art Menlo Park, wants to talk about FedEx. Art.
Hi, Steve. How's it going?
Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Nice. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you about FedEx. I'm thinking about paring it down because it's I've owned it for quite a few years. And it's probably up several 100% at this point. And it's getting up there in my portfolio.
It really is time to cut it back, Art. It's time to, we would call balance your portfolio. It's now, for an instance, FedEx, everybody knows that, they provide deliveries of parcels. And everybody's been moving things around, especially with this COVID thing. Everybody's at home buying things. So the issue is it's selling for $232 a share now, and they're going to make good money, up 17% this year. They're going to another 21% for next year. So it's really doing well, but all that is probably built in the stock price by now. Their PE range 7 to 24, and it's selling at 24. So I would take some profits. I would definitely clearly take some profits here, Art. That's the thing to do. Appreciate the call. Thank you. My focus point today concerns this story, leveraging our awareness on National 401k Day. Do most people know what a 401k is? That's your private company's sponsored retirement plan for you, the employees of that private company. It's not for nonprofits. It's not for public companies. It's not for anything but private companies. Those others have different types of retirement programs, similar to 401k. Okay? 401ks are sponsored retirement accounts by your employer. Now, there's two kinds. There's Roth and there's regular. Roth is fairly new, last few years. The old 401k that's normal has been around a lot longer than that. Okay, in fact, I think it was 1980, I think, is when it was started. Yeah, the Revenue Act of 1978 took effect, allowing tax-deferred compensation and bonuses and stock options, clearing the way for 401k retirement plans. Okay, so not all 401k plans sponsored by the private companies are ones that the companies put money in. They don't have to. You are supposed to put money in your own personal 401k account. You do. Companies should, but they don't have to. It's not required. I said if they would match, but many companies do, many companies don't. Okay? Many of our Invest Talk listeners were busy working adults on September 11, 2001. However, some of our audience today was back then still in college or even high school, maybe even grade school. Yet we were all shocked by those terrorist attacks. So as we go to break, here are my two-part trivia question. Looking back at 9/11/2001, how did the stock market react? And how can we broadly assess the costs of terrorist attacks? I'll have the answer after this break. But for now, my phone lines are open and I encourage your investment questions, 888-99-CHART.
I'm in my early 20s and I'm thinking of doing something that every article I read says not to.
I noticed it took quite a fall.
Yes, I know it's extremely risky.
I have a little mixed feelings about this stock.
And I wanted to see if this could be a riskier payoff in the long run.
For the unprepared investor, market volatility around the world demonstrates risk.
It remains a very, very tough business.
But opportunities wait for no one. And now may be the best time in years to invest wisely.
We got a lot of things cooking out there that the market has to think about.
To invest strategically.
We've moved very far, very fast. It needs to consolidate.
KPP Financial Principals Steve Peasley and Justin Klein host a unique weekday finance and investment program and podcast, Invest Talk. Listen live or download the free podcast.
You are listening to Invest Talk. It's Friday. The weekend is almost here, and Steve Peasley is on duty now, taking your finance and investment questions live. Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Okay, I asked you a trivia question before the break, and here's the answer. And the question was, looking back at 9/11, how did the stock market react, and what are the broader issues and costs of terrorist attacks? So when American Airlines Flight 11 crashed into the North Tower of the World Trade Center and then American Airlines Flight 175 hit the South Tower, it was obvious that America was under attack. And of course, there was the other ones, the Pentagon that people tend to forget, and the one that the bright people on the plane rushed the terrorists, and that crashed in Pennsylvania somewhere. So we can't forget those people. That was also... got to remember those. So to prevent a stock market meltdown, I don't know if you remember right, but that was in the morning before the market happened. It was a Tuesday morning. Market didn't open. Market didn't open that day. Okay? So a negative reaction, the first week after it opened, the market fell 14%. I think it was 7% the first day, if I remember. But totally, it fell 14%. And it was a record drop one day time, but, and gold and oil rallied. Gold and oil rallied. The largest industries impacted were, of course, the airlines, just like this COVID thing, right? Because, they used the airlines, so they had to shut down the whole airline business for a little while. And but the market did recover pretty quickly, relatively short period of time. Okay, but there are lasting effects. So what are the costs? Financial markets have proved time and again that they're pretty resilient to acts of terrorism. So according to the International Monetary Fund, IMF, direct economic costs are short-term in nature. The indirect costs of terrorism can be significantly larger and they affect the economy in the medium term and long term. Okay. They also undermine consumer and investor confidence long term. So terrorism can have a long term effect. It really can. It's very easy. Think of the cost of security at their airports now. We didn't have TSA agents. We didn't have any of those people. So that added cost to the airports, right? That, of course, when it adds costs, who do you think pays? You and I pay. That's who pays. So the long-term effects can get expensive. It can. Okay, let's go to Alejandro in Virginia. How you doing?
Hey, Steve. First of all, I love the show, and I try to listen every day, so I appreciate you guys having the podcast available.
Thank you.
So I wanted to ask you about Snowflake. It's an upcoming IPO that I think is debuting on Tuesday. And even like, you know, there's been a lot of hype around it. I think even like
Warren
Buffett's company has gone into it. So I have a couple of questions, or two questions on it, really.
Sure.
One would be, what would be the best strategy to kind of determine like the price range? Because I know I've heard you guys say from listening that usually it takes about 6 months or so to really kind of understand these IPOs, because obviously there's no information on them. So that would be that. And then what would be a price range that you would think would be a good entry point into the company?
Okay. Do you know what the IPO price, what they said is going to be at? Do you know? Because I don't.
So just from reading, I think it's somewhere in the 70 to 80 range.
Okay.
But I don't know how, you know, volume would affect that on Tuesday. And
now, is that the actual is that the actual IPO price or what the trading range they think it's going to hit for the first day?
Oh,
let me explain.
It would be the trading range.
Yeah, that's what I thought. The IPO price could be $25 or $30. Okay, but the trading range could be massively different, because how IPOs work is the brokerage firm taking it public call all their best clients. And here you got Warren Buffett going in on this one. So this was a very highly touted IPO. So you're never going to get at the IPO price, or even close to the IPO price, on a very popular IPO coming out. That's just the nature of it. So you do not want to chase that performance. Now, I don't know much about this company yet, and that's why we tell you, wait after 6 months. There's a couple of reasons. One is the insiders get to start selling after 6 months. So they tend, remember, the insiders are the owners, the previous owners or managers or whoever, and they want to realize some profits here. So they tend to the majority, I should say, of IPO stocks trade below their IPO price within 6 months. That's why I don't like people to buy them, because the ones that you hear are the ones that are exciting are the ones that are most costly. So it's hard to know what a fair price is. Okay, you just don't know. You know, if you really love the concept, the IPO price, I would suggest you wait a couple, 3 days, maybe a week. At least you'll probably get some kind of pullback in that time. That's normal. Alejandro, appreciate the call. Thank you. James and Sonoba, we're going to talk about ABBV. ABV, that's the drug company, right? How you doing, James? What's going on?
I'm doing fine. About a week and a half ago, you had a caller and you had a glowing report on this. I've owned it in my IRA since it was part of Abbott Labs. And I was a little surprised because you never go over anything that you, well, I won't say never, but you rarely go over anything that's 60% on a payout ratio. And if I'm reading this correctly, this has got a payout ratio of over 100, 110%, I think it's according to Schwab. I'm driving, so I don't really know what it is today. But okay, I was surprised. Am I not reading that correctly, what's going on with that?
The number is correct if you look at last year's earnings, which 2019 was $8.94. It's an $89 stock, and they pay 5.3%. So 5% of 90 is $4.50, and that's a little over 50%. So the future earnings, next year, 2020, they're going to make $12.36. per share. So it's a huge increase, a 50% increase approximately, not quite, but from last year's earnings. So that means that payout ratio is much more reasonable. At 5% of 90 is $4.50, and they're going to make $12.35. So it's a third, right? 33%. And we'd like to keep it under 60. So therefore, it's a pretty decent payout. That's not something you need to worry about. Okay? Appreciate the call. Thank you. Thanks, James. The KPP Premium Newsletter was distributed to subscribers today. And, of course, I pack it with a lot of information. I I'm pretty diligent about that. I try to anyways. That's my goal. There was a little in the way of economic news this week. On Wednesday, we did see release of the job openings report, but it's for July. You know, that's as soon as they can get it out. So it's kind of old, but it did go up. It did go up, which was a nice, and it's from 6 million to 6.6. So June it was 6 million, July it was 6.6 million. So that was a good report, 600,000 more. Inflation numbers came out in PPI, Producer Price Index, CPIs, Consumer Price Index, and showing a, you know, a little tad increase in inflation. Nothing unreasonable yet, but you remember the Fed's going to let inflation run. They've said they're going to let it run a lot longer than they would normally. So it's like 1.5% or so, and their target is 2. They're going to let it run well above 2 when it comes. And it looks like it's starting to inch up. And then in the portfolio management section, I talked about moving averages, accumulation distribution, on-balance volume. These are technical analysis terms, things that we look at that you should become familiar with and you look at too when you're thinking about managing your own portfolio. So, you know, and, you know, even just a recent caller here that just called, James talked about the payout ratio. That's how much the dividend pays out based on its earnings. If it's a 5% dividend and 5% of the stock price is $5 and they're only going to earn $5, that's a 100% payout ratio. We would like it to be 60% or less. So talked about, that's in that section. Couple stock ideas. I had an integrated oil company I've recommended before. They've just got cheaper, really high dividends. Also talked about a leading global manufacturer and marketer of branded convenience food products. Okay, quarter over quarter growth for the company increased 18.4%. So earnings per share increased almost 100%. So I name those companies in the newsletter. I always give you a couple of stock ideas every week. And finally, the Consumer Watch section. We talk about relieving stress. How to relieve stress. We're in pretty stressful times. You know. So, you know, we had this so-called work from home event going on because, did you think it's more less stressful working from home? Not necessarily. It could be more stressful. Why? Because you're not interacting with your coworkers or your boss. You're much more on your own. So you have to self-motivate and get things done. And, you know, on your side, it can be more stressful for a lot of people. So how do you relieve that stress? There's ways to do it. You can exercise, of course. You can take, people should exercise anyway. You should do that. You also can have caffeine. Caffeine is a stimulant, and high doses can increase anxiety. But also, most people drink coffee to perk them up and get them working, so they're less stressful. But you can take too much, just like anything else. So there's a lot of valuable information in that KPP Premium newsletter each week. Every Friday, it comes out every Friday. If you want to subscribe to it, go directly to investtalk.com. Let's go to Hubert in San Antonio. Hubert.
Hello, Steve. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm a big fan of your show. I have a question regarding the company Valero Energy, symbol VLO. And basically 10% of my portfolio. I'm relatively new to the market, about a year or so. And they made a big announcement. Basically, it says they've announced pricing of notes offering. And I'm trying to understand the lingo, exactly what are they doing. My understanding is that they're basically selling their debt to the lowest bidder. Is that what I'm understanding from that?
When you ever hear a company when it says we're offering notes, okay, offering notes, generally speaking, that means they're selling bonds. Okay, well, why would they sell bonds? Well, there's several reasons. Interest rates are very low. Maybe they have current debt that is higher that they borrowed money from a bank or something, and that debt is higher than they could get to have to pay out from selling bonds because bonds are very low. So why not pay off debt you're paying 6%. Just think about a mortgage, your own mortgage. Do you refinance your home to a lower mortgage? That's what they're doing. That's a very common thing for them to do. Okay? Now, it's not the only reason they offer notes. That's not the only reason. They also do it for several other reasons. One is they just want more money. Maybe they're going to build a new refinery. Valero Energy, by the way, engaged in refining, marketing fuels and stuff. Maybe they want to build something or buy land. So they're offering notes or bonds so they can get that money and go do something with it. Okay? Now, a bad thing is to offer notes to pay higher dividends. Because you're like taking money out of one pocket and putting it in the other. It's not like getting new anymore. You know, so they have a pretty high dividend. So I would want to know what those notes are for. And I have a feeling it's to reduce debt because it has some debt. So I'd have to read up on what their plan is. They will tell you what they're going to do with those notes. Okay. And those notes are going to be, I think, BAA. That's the quality of those. So it's pretty high quality. So that means it's going to be pretty low cost to them. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it, Herbert. Thank you. Okay, as you may know, on Friday, I squeezed in a quick rundown of the key benchmarks. I try to. Two-year Treasury yield, 0.129%. You're getting nothing. 10-year, 0.67%. The spread is fine, but man, those rates are low. Gold was priced at $1,942 an ounce. Remember, it broke a little bit above 2,000, and it's been kind of weakening here in the last couple, 3 weeks, and just kind of random, you know, moving up and down within a kind of a little channel. So is it going to stay there? Ask yourself. Gasoline on a national level, $2.20 per gallon. In California, another buck up, $3.23, pretty much is the norm. Have you noticed that? And, of course, the lowest price this last week is Illinois at $2.32. Is that the lowest price? I don't think so. Not when the price was $2.20 per gallon nationwide. So that's just what it is in Illinois, not the lowest. Okay, excuse me. Here in Investtalk and at my company, KPP Financial in Irvine, California, we operate on a philosophy of independent thinking, shared success. You know that. We try to give you unbiased guidance. We practice parallel investing, meaning I buy the same things as my clients, same price, same time, same percentage. In different portfolios. I encourage you to take advantage of our offer, free portfolio review assessments. We can do it via telephone, Skype, or Jive. Be happy to do that. And you can send us a message to investtalk.com. You send me an email, pretty easy. Or you can call our KPP financial offices in Irvine, California. Wish, be happy to talk to you. 888-99-CHART is our number. We'll be right back.
This is InvestTalk. Is your portfolio balanced? Is it optimized? Is it delivering the types of gains you want and need to achieve financial freedom? Well, turn up the volume because there are many questions that deserve unbiased answers. And Steve Peasley is here now, ready to take your calls live. 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve and Justin. I've been looking at a stock, HCSG is the ticker symbol. It's a healthcare services group. Looking at it as maybe a safe long-term hold stock, what do you guys think of it? I see it pays a good dividend. I don't know, does it have a lot of debt? And is the growth real good? Do you feel this would be a good investment, or is this stock kind of overrated and not really a good buy at this time? Thanks. I'll be looking for your answers on the show.
Okay, Healthcare Services Group, it's a $1.5 billion company, so it's small. Provides housekeeping, laundry, maintenance, dietary services to 3,000 long-term care facilities in 48 states. Remember, it provides healthcare. It's not a long-term care facility. It provides services to them. Okay. The this taking a look at it, it seems a little expensive to me. Sales have been falling, sales, for 2 years every quarter. 2 years. Now, not by a lot, but falling. I don't like that. I don't like that. Earnings, they're going to be $1.12 this year. Earnings have gone up. They're going to be $1.21 next year. Sales are falling. Earnings gone up. So where did that come from? How did that happen? Well, they squeezed out profits. They squeezed out costs. Make profits go up. Return on equity is 14%, just okay. Pays a 4% dividend. It's a $20 stock. So 4% is 80 cents, and they make $1.20. So they can pay they can make $1.12 this year, $1.20. So they can pay the dividend. I wouldn't buy this stock. There's not enough. There's no growth in it. I don't want a stock that's not growing some, especially like the smaller company is. You want some growth, not just profits, but some growth of those sales. You got growth and profits, but how long can you squeeze costs out growing those products? You need growth in sales. So no, I would pass on HCSG. Pass on. Okay, I know you've seen a lot of bankruptcies being reported last year or two. JCPenney. JCPenney filed Chapter 11. There's two kinds of bankruptcies, Chapter 7, Chapter 11. Chapter 7 is a bankruptcy, meaning they're going to just liquidate and pay the holders of their debt as much as they can, and usually the shareholders get nothing. JCPenney is not liquidating. That's Chapter 11. That's reorganization. So Chapter 11 is reorganization. So they're going to reopen with 650 stores out of 1,000. So they're going to, but they are Chapter 11. Century 21, not the real estate company. This is a discount store. They filed for bankruptcy. They sell discount designer clothes. Steinmart, 112-year-old company, it will close most of its stores, most of its stores. Lord & Taylor, Chapter 11, they've been around since 1826. Lord & Taylor, Chapter 11. Men's Warehouse, tailored brands clothes, Ann Taylor, Lane Bryant, all gone. I just picked the big names. There's more. There's a lot more. I just picked the big names. Those are the ones that are given up. Remember, these companies are already fighting against Amazon and online sales, and no one's coming to their stores. They're already fighting against that for years. And then you throw on COVID. What do you think's going to happen? Of course. Throw on COVID and you shut down the economy. Yeah. Shut down the malls that these stores are in. They're going to go out of business, of course. Trick is how many are going to come back? Not that many that are going to come back. Either a very, very small reflection of its old self or not come back. So some of these Chapter 11s will turn into Chapter 7s. Don't all come back. Remember that when you do reorganize, you got to get a court approval. Reorganizing plan. So it's tough. I'm Steve Peasley, and this completes another InvestTalk program. I will return next week, I promise. Please tell your friends and family members that they can choose from over 100 archived InvestTalk podcasts, and they're all free. Free downloads. You can do it at iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, and InvestTalk.com. Independent thinking, share success. Everybody, I want you, this is InvestTalk. I want you to have a great, great weekend. See you next week.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is president and Justin Klein, chief executive officer of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial. They thank you for listening and welcome your comments or questions on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.